Hello and welcome to Dad Educates Daughter, Series 5, Episode 14, the last episode of the female soloists. So, hello Rebecca.
Hello Dad, how are we?
I'm good, thank you. So, how have you found this week?
Well, I don't want to say too much about this week. Mostly because it's the last one. I don't want to give too much away. And it's one of those weeks where I think I might surprise you. So I don't want to talk too much to give anything away.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So what I want to know is how you think this week is going to go.
See, from a personal experience, from person...
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of many of these, if I'm honest.
Right,
okay. So I'll just quickly go through that. So Toy Wilcox. I mean, yeah, I love It's a Mystery, but other than that, not completely a fan. Samantha Fox. I mean, she was like she was like a poor man's Kylie Minogue, so I mean, she was a model. Yeah. So she's not a singer. It's not not what she was. She went into it. It was when we was going through the phase of TV stars and things like that. People like that going into music. So we had Kylie, we had Jason, we had Stephen Dennis, Craig McLaughlin, Danny Minogue, Robson and Jerome. You know, if you were famous and good, you know, you had popularity. Bear in mind, we didn't have social media in that back then, so you'd get on, and that's how I saw Samantha Fox. So, you know,
right,
I wasn't a fan. Yes,
I think,
they're okay, but it's a bit like Sabrina with her boys. Grace Jones, I do like her, but it's not, I mean, I like her, but she's. I mean, Pull Up to the Bumper, Slave to the Withams, a very good song. So, yeah. Elkie Brooks. Not really my type. Kelly Marie. One song. And then obviously Barbara Dixon and Elaine Page, as you'll find out. They're not chart singers as such.
Mm.
They come from a different side of singing, which we'll go into.
Right.
So.
Okay.
So for me, it wouldn't have been a great week. For you, I can see you having 3 or 4.
Okay.
So
like I said, I don't want to give too much away.
Okay.
We all know I can talk.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to leave a bit of mystery for the last week.
So let's get straight in then, because I've already gone through who you had.
Yep.
Let's talk music. Number ones. How many, if any?
I've not gone for many. I've gone for 2.
You are correct. So which 2?
Oh, Memory by Elaine Page. And Feels Like I'm in Love by Kelly Marie. But that's it.
Okay.
I didn't go for like the big people like Toya. I had majority songs from her.
Okay.
So yeah, there's your 2.
All right. So it was 2. We'll find out if you are correct. So let's talk music and let's go straight into Toya Wilcox.
Yeah. So she's very punk rock genre, rock, pop rock. She is on Strictly at the moment, and I know you've seen her. I've not seen her, have I? No, she weren't at Rewind. No. So seeing her on Strictly, I was like, okay, that's Toya, right? And then obviously you gave me her. I was like, oh, I've got Toya. Well, that's a very different person, isn't it, than what she was when she was younger? She experimented a lot with her makeup, her hair. She videos, more live performances. She liked a costume in the 80s. She's aged in a good way, I want to say, as well. She's definitely not what I was expecting her to be like. And she, even with her music, but then obviously I didn't know what to expect anyway, but just looking at her, I didn't expect this kind of music. She's definitely a rock artist and likes to shout about it within her music. She does it well. And it's probably the most rock artist I've had, like, in a long time. Like, especially in the women. I feel she goes darker as time goes on. And the way that I can describe her is I feel like her music and the way she dresses would be, like, part of a tribe. I can see her, like, having, like, those type of followers that dress. Obviously, like, when you're a fan of someone, you do, like their style as well. So you kind of go... So I feel like everyone would have dressed the same... and all of that. And I have a feeling she's very outspoken and has strong opinions.
Okay. So Toy Wilcox from King's Heath in Birmingham. Active since 1976. She's a singer-songwriter. Her genre is post-punk, new wave, rock and pop rock.
Oh, yeah. Post-punk would be, yeah.
So Wilcox enjoyed a financially comfortable childhood. So whereas a lot of the 80s group and what have you, they were from, there's a lot from, you know,
like working class background.
Yeah. And had to make their way and save up to get the
work for
the latest technology. We've even had squatters, you know, as in they moved to London and squatted.
Yeah.
I think Thompson Twins have come to mind. I know Aha literally had no money when they come to London. Obviously, they're from Norway. So she was from a much more privileged background.
Yeah.
And she attended private school. So. I don't think we've had many. No. So, however, she was bullied and required physiotherapy for a spinal condition and behaved violently towards her mother, to whom she was close. So even though she was close,
they clashed a bit, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Toya was seen as an absentee pupil and frequently rebellious. Due to surgery on her feet, she ended up sitting her O-levels a year late and achieved one O-level pass, which was in music.
Oh, well, at least it was in what she wanted to go down.
So it's obviously what she was always
written out for her.
Interested in and that. Her rebellious behaviour led to her shunning male company and adopting her own flamboyant identity and a flamboyant and aggressive identity.
I can see that's what I mean when, like, the aggressiveness, you can see that she's strong.
So her alienation towards men and her uncertainty regarding her sexuality led Wilcox to seek an outlet initially in acting. And then in music. And she attended drama school in Birmingham, paying privately as she was denied a grant, with the assessor noting she has a lisp and isn't attractive.
Oh, poor woman.
I don't think that would happen in today's. You'd be straight in and raising a complaint and gosh knows what. So she worked in local theatres, including the Alexandra and the Birmingham Hippodrome. She was affectionately known by other actors as the Bird of Paradise due to her distinctive appearance and red dyed hair. A friend suggested she see the Sex Pistols, which led to her being attracted to the punk movement. Hoping to do better, she travelled to London to take up a career in acting and music. And between 1976 to 1979, she appeared in many TV shows like BBC's Second City First series alongside Noel Edmonds and Phil Daniels. She later appeared in 1978's drama film Jubilee, which was directed by Derek Jarman and starred many other prominent figures from the punk scene like Adamant, Susie Sue, and Richard O'Brien. This led to her playing Monkey in 1979's film of The Who's Quadrophenia through her association with Sex Pistols' John Lydon. After a possible role in the Sex Pistols film, The Great Rock and Roll Swindle had fallen through. And also, Phil Daniels, who I've already mentioned, he was also in. Yeah, so there's obviously loads of links, and I suppose it depends who you're.
It's getting in with the right people, and
yeah.
She
then formed a band, Toya. Citing her role in Quadrophenia helped her boost her musical career and gained her a record deal with Safari Records, releasing her debut single, Victims of the Riddle, which tops the UK indie chart in 1979. Wilcox then released an EP, Sleep Farming in Barnet. Initially released in Germany, it was re-released as an LP album, comprising of the original six tracks, Victim of the Riddle, and its B-side, which was a remix of the single, plus three other tracks which had previously not been recorded. So an EP went into be an album. An EP obviously had six tracks, whereas normally they have four.
Yeah.
Six tracks. She then put on the single she'd already released and the B-side, which was just a remix of that single, and then another three. So
she was really getting her music out there with that, weren't she?
Between 10 and 13 tracks is probably about right for an album. So 11.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
She definitely made more of an album. The album charted number one on the UK indie chart.
Oh, okay.
Album chart in 1980.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And this, although I've classed it as, this is Toya Wilcox, she was in a band called Toya.
Oh, yeah. So but the band really, was basically,
should have been in
she
group.
Was like the singer, weren't
Toya was always the one that people, I mean, I grew up, she was just a bit before my time for when I was into music, but everyone had Toya badges, I remember, and, you know, and everyone knew about Toya with her red hair and that. So but I didn't realise that, although the main thing people spoke about was Toya Wilcox, Toya was actually the group, or the band.
But her name was Toya.
Yeah. So the second album, The Blue Meaning, was released, and that reached number 40 on the official UK album chart. So it did get into the top 40.
That's good going there.
And it was again number one on the UK indie album chart. So that's now two number ones on the album. Bad.
Yeah.
While lead single Layer reached number three on the UK independent singles chart, or the indie chart. The single was later re-released 2 years later in 1982 and reached number 48 on the UK singles chart. So just off the top 40. In January 1981, as well as getting to number 48 on the re-release, it also got to number 5 on the indie chart. So it got to number 3.
So she's done well on
the re-release and got to number 5 on the indie chart.
She's done well over on the indie charts.
Yeah, so we're back because obviously it's early days again, and people, we got the indie chart suddenly appearing again. Look where I am now.
Number 5 on the indie charts.
So in January 1981, the band released their live album, Toya, 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 which was recorded in Wolverhampton at one of their gigs and charted at number 22 on the official UK album chart and number 3 on the UK indie chart.
Wow.
And was helped commercially through a TV documentary, Toya. And
really
by
getting her name out in people's mouths with like naming everything after
that's
her.
What I'm saying, she was quite
it was her
I suppose, as you say, you've not come across it. I mean, you've got to think, we've come out of punk. We're now, she's more rock, punk rock. There isn't many women around doing what she was doing. I mean, as I say, it was a bit before my time, but, you know, it was, you got to think as well, the late 70s was, we come out of the punk with the Sex Pistols and all that, and then we went into disco.
Yeah.
So,
you were doing something, you know, that others weren't, and then
electronic
it.
Or synth pop, if you want to look at it. So this was totally different.
Yeah.
You know. So, by now the original band had broken up and a new lineup was in place with only Toya and Joel Bogan remaining. And Joel was like co-writer with Toya for most of the songs.
Right.
So in 1981 saw the release of the EP Four from Toya, which included the track It's a Mystery, while third album Anthem went to number 2 on both the official UK album chart and the indie album chart, and featured It's a Mystery, which had charted in the top in the top 10 of the UK singles chart and was number 1 on the indie chart. And although an EP, it was seen as the lead single and the reason for the chart's success. I suppose the surprising thing is that the album wasn't number 1 on the indie chart. It was only number 2, which is the same as on the singles chart. On the, you know,
the chart. But she's still getting them in there, isn't she?
So, yeah. While the album's second single, I Want to Be Free, was another UK top 10 hit and also made the top 10 in both Ireland and South Africa, as well as peaking at number 1 on the UK indie singles chart. So both singles now have gone to number 1. We've had first two albums go to number 1. So definitely as far as independent sales go, very, very good. Just not commercially, because probably people weren't used to this sort of music.
Like, it's not at the right time, but
as I still say, we're going into, you know, we're into early 80s, we're going from just phasing out disco and going into the synth pop, really.
Yeah, like she's doing it at a time that you wouldn't expect it to work, yet somehow it's working for her.
The band then released Thunder in the Mountains, a non-album track which reached the top 10 in both the UK and Ireland, and number 1 on the UK indie chart.
Wow.
1982 saw the release of the fourth album, The Changeling, which charted at number 6 on the UK album chart and number 2 on the UK indie album chart, while the lead single, Brave New World, was a top 30 hit and reached number 4 on the UK indie chart.
So just to check as well, she never went solo. She was always a band.
She does go solo, I think, a bit later. Yes, I know. I'll come to that in a bit later.
Right, okay.
The majority of her success was while with the band Toya.
Right.
And obviously she was known as Toya Wilcox, but I didn't realize, as I say, I mean, it's unlike, you know, when you think of Blondie and Debbie, it's Debbie Harry is Blondie, but the band was called Blondie. This is even more confusing because Toya's name is Toya.
It's Toya,
and
it's not like she
the band's name's Toya. So that's where I was. Yeah. Obviously, I've always thought Toya Wilcox was Toya Wilcox. Mm. I didn't realize there was a band that she was in that was called Toya.
Right, okay.
So, as I say, she should have been in the groups, but
shows it, but it shows that even the band,
mainly about her, as I say.
Yeah,
I mean, the band was more like a backing band, I would say.
Yeah, I was gonna say, although, like, shows that the band, I mean, and really like the
band's
band.
Changed completely from when they first started out as well, apart from, as I say, the other co-writer.
Yeah.
The band then re-released Layer and another non-album single, Be Proud, Be Loud, Be Heard, which gave the band another top 30 hit and also reached number 3 on the UK indie chart. The band then released their fifth and final album, Love Is the Law, which saw lead single Rebel Run chart inside the top 30 and reached number 3 on the UK indie singles chart. while the second single, The Vow, was the band's last single and was a relative flop when charting outside the UK top 40 at number 50 and only reaching number 17 on the UK indie chart, while the album itself only charted at number 28 on the UK album chart and number 7 on the UK indie chart. Toya then went solo, releasing 11 studio albums between 1985 and 2021.
Nah, she's not been going this whole time.
Yeah. And saw one single, Don't Fall in Love, I Said, which charted inside the UK top 30 singles chart, while her debut album, Minx, which Don't Fall in Love, I Said, was lead single of, charted at number 24 on the UK album chart and was her only charting single as a fully soloist. Toya won Smash Hits 1981 Reader's Poll for two categories, Best Female Singer and Most Fanciful Female, where she beat Kim Wilde.
With that hair?
Yeah. Yeah.
That hair. That hair's a
thing. So according to Safari Records, who obviously Toya was with, as in the band Toya.
Yeah.
In 1981, Toya sold more units in the UK than the whole of Warner Brothers artists put together.
Wow.
So, but that's coming from their own record label. But that, if that is true, that is quite something, because Warner Brothers weren't small fry.
No. Wow. Get that.
So in 1986, Wilcox married musician Robert Fripp, the guitarist and founder member of prog rock group King Crimson, and are now social media sensations with their YouTube channel show, Sunday Lunch, which they started during lockdown.
I saw something, like, obviously when you go on YouTube and I was watching my videos, I kept seeing Robert, I forgot to write his name down. Now you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I was meant to ask about him, but you've answered it anyway. And yeah. I saw something about, like, the Sunday thing, and I was like, obviously I didn't click on it. I was just like, oh,
so they
program, but it's actually there.
I've watched a few, they do covers, but it's in their house, and sometimes they dress up or dress down sometimes. Makeup on, and yeah, it's just having fun, you know. But yeah, it can be. I suppose when it was locked down, it was
entertainment. You know,
it was good entertainment, really.
Yeah, and I guess
it became quite a sensational show. And yeah, as you say, they've carried it on, and I think guests as well now. And also, Toya has joined the cast for 2024's Strictly Come Dancing, as you mentioned at the beginning. So, Toya Wilcox.
Toya Wilcox.
1981, Angels and Demons, War Boys, Revelations, and It's a Mystery were the four singles on the fourth Toya EP.
Right, okay.
And that got to number, yeah, so, and that got to number 4.
Okay.
So really, the lead single, I don't know, obviously we're waiting to see what you think, but the lead single was obviously classed as It's a Mystery from those four, which in a sense is the single that got to number 4. But we'll see what you think of the other three, starting with Angels and Demons.
Angels and Demons was very long, quite culty. And I say cult, and then as we go further on, I get more into I realise the word for it is tribe. It's very mysterious, same tempo throughout. War Boys, a lot more talking than singing, very preachy and a bit dark. Revelations, oh, that was an odd one. It had like Jack and Jill lyrics in it. I was like, very odd. And again, quite dark. And It's a Mystery was high-pitched. It had a nice beat behind it, and the chorus is catchy. So out of those four, It's a Mystery would have been like my go-to listen.
Okay. And then also 1981, I Want to Be Free, number 8.
This was weird, quite alternative. Again, not singing, it's more whining.
1981, Thunder in the Mountains, also number 4.
This one changes in pitch and you can't really understand her. It's very rocky.
And then we have another EP, 4 more from Toya. And they were Good Morning Universe, Urban Tribesman, In the Fairground, and The Furious Futures. And that got to number 14.
Okay. So Good Morning Universe was quite harmonious, like airy fairy. I can't really explain it better than that. Very, yeah. It was very like, ooh, kind of music. Couldn't explain it. Urban Tribesman didn't have much to it. Quite a lot of sounds. And again, it was one that you couldn't really understand her in. In the Fairground, it was like she was calling for a spirit. That was a bit of a hard listen. And then The Furious Futures was my favourite. It's the most singy one. Very easy on the ears compared to others.
And then 1982, Brave New World. That got to number 21.
This one was like a horror. Very harsh and very rocky.
1982 still, Be Loud, Be Proud, Be Heard. That got to number 30.
This one's got catchy lyrics and it's more upbeat, but she still keeps her like twist on it with her way of singing and the type of music she releases.
1983, Rebel Run, number 24.
This one was again quite horror, like you could find it in a movie, and it had like almost opera-like snippets.
Okay. 1985, Don't Fall in Love, I Said, number 22.
This one was very passionate, but quite shouty. It had a good chorus to it.
And then I gave you this one because it's sort of going full circle, because
yeah,
if it wasn't the first episode, it was certainly one of the very beginning, with Water Boys and Echo Beach. And this was Toya's version that she released in 1987. Now, it only got to number 54. But I just thought I'd put it in there.
And Echo Beach.
They were the Whole of the Moon. It was the Muffins. Muffin the Muffins, sorry, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that.
Yeah, no, Water Boys was Whole of the Moon.
She ruined it. I didn't like her version. Too dark. It was like, Echo Beach is such an upbeat, happy tune. And she somehow made it dark and dreary.
Yeah. She did sing it at Rewind, but I didn't know that she'd released it. But as I say, it only got to number 54. Yeah. What was your favourite of hers, did you say?
The Furious Futures.
Ah, right, okay. See, I'm a fan of It's a Mystery, but...
Yeah, really that was that. Futures, that one would have been like up there. The Furious Futures, Be Loud, Be Proud, Be Heard, and It's a Mystery would have been like my top three.
Okay. Moving on to Samantha Fox.
Yeah. Again, she's more with videos. It was more like live performances. She can get the crowd going. She changes her hairstyle up a bit. I've gone with pop, rock. And I know this isn't a genre, but all I could think of was teen pop. Like, she was for a specific target audience. I feel like she fits right in and is quite commercial. Her lyrics have the same theme of like kind of selling themselves, sex appeal, but through lyrics in a way, I want to say, or always singing about a lover and things like that. I feel like she follows the time, and she might have been later 80s because the back end of her songs that I had very 90s feels to them.
Okay, so Samantha Fox. Samantha Fox from Mile End, London, active since 1983. She's a model first and then a singer. Her genre is dance pop, high energy, Eurobeat, and house. Not that yes, I'm sure where the house is, but...
House comes from her back end of music. Like I say, I think she went into the 90s very well. Which is when House would have
been around.
And in one of the songs, second to last song, I've even written House.
So Samantha Fox started out as a glamour model, rising to fame as a Page 3 topless model in the Sun newspaper during the 80s. And since she debuted in 1983, was the most photographed British woman of the 80s, which I'm so shocked about because I just said Princess Di.
But is that because of her being in the Sun, so she was photographed for that as well?
Well, yeah, she would have been, but she wouldn't have been in it every day. They had different models. So it was literally Page 3 was a topless model and say, and the Star done the Daily Star the same. Obviously, it's not. To say she was the most photographed British woman of the 80s is, I was shocked because I'd have, if you'd asked me, I'd have said Princess Di. But it's Sam Fox, evidently. And she was seen as a prominent sex symbol of her era, until she left the modelling business in 1986. To focus on her singing career. So her debut single, released in 1986 on Jive Records, was Touch Me, I Want Your Body, which was an instant hit across Europe, North America and Australia, reaching number one in Australia, Canada, Finland, Greece, Norway, Portugal, Sweden and Switzerland. And it even made number 4 on the US Billboard Hot 100 chart. While debut album, Touch Me, released in July 1986, was number 1 in Finland and the top 5 in Norway, Sweden and Switzerland, and was number 17 on the UK album chart and number 24 on the US Billboard Hot 200. Her second studio album, Samantha Fox, released in 1987, charted at number 3 in Finland, Norway and Switzerland, while reaching number 22 on the UK album chart and number 51 on the Billboard 200 chart. While the lead single, Nothing's Gonna Stop Me Now, was produced by Stock, Aitken and Waterman and was a top 10 hit single in Belgium, Denmark, France, Ireland, Italy, Netherlands, Norway, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland and West Germany. While those people in Finland who clearly do like Samantha Fox saw it top the charts at number 1.
Wow. Okay.
Her third album, I Wanna Have Some Fun, was released in November 1988 and reached number 46 on the UK album chart. While the lead single, while the lead single, Love, was a top 10 UK hit, was a top 10 hit in Finland, funny enough, Netherlands and Spain. Sam has released a further 3 albums, Just One Night in 1991, 21st Century Fox in 1997, and Angel with an Attitude in 2005. Although dating many men in 1999 after judging a lesbian beauty pageant, her sexuality was questioned, as at the time she was living with Australian-born guitarist and musical collaborator Chris Benacci. Benacci has later confirmed that she and Fox were in a relationship for 4.5 years.
Wow, they kept that under the rocks, didn't they?
In 2003, Fox came out as a lesbian and confirmed she was in a relationship with her then-manager, Myra Stratton. Fox has since said she realised she was gay in her mid-20s. Fox remained with Stratton until her death from cancer in 2015, aged 60. The following year, Fox started dating her then-tour manager, Linda Olsen, and the couple married.
Business, don't she?
Yeah, and the couple married in June 2022 at a Eurovision themed wedding in Forest, Essex.
Love that.
So, yes. So, Sam Fox, Samantha Fox, the topless page three model come singer.
What a turnaround.
And she quit that to become a singer. But I suppose there's only so long you can be a topless, a glamour model. Although, the catwalks and that, they seem to go longer than these. I don't know what you want to class these. So 1986.
Just going back to page three, it's a very odd concept, isn't it? When you think back,
back then it was, and it sold newspapers. People did buy, obviously men, I suppose some women, but mainly men, that sold some of the news. The Sun was the top selling newspaper, and I'm sure page three was part of the reason for it. I mean,
it's just a very odd concept to think about. I remember it.
Well, Melinda Messenger started out on it. Obviously, Jordan or Katie Price, I think. She was known as then. She was known as Jordan and not Katie Price. I don't know which way round it is now.
Known as Jordan. Katie Price.
Right. So, yeah. And the bloke from Brookside, he's now married to a page three. I can't think of her name. But she became Linda Lasalle. Came in actress.
It's like they were like, it's like they were wannabes, a bit harsh. Wannabes in a way. Get noticed. People got their name out there, and then music, acting, bigger modelling. I don't know.
I remember is a photographer was called Beverly Goodway or Goodwin, something like that, but Beverly, and it was a he. His name was Beverly, which is normally you'd associate as a woman's name.
Yeah,
it's a bit like Fleetwood Mac with Lindsay Buckingham, and everyone thought that was a woman, everyone, and Stevie Nicks was the bloke. Anyway, digressing. Back to the music. 1986, Touch Me, I Want Your Body, got to number three.
Upbeat, catchy, good start, my favourite.
1986 again. Do ya wanna please me? Got to number 10.
Straight in with the music. It's got a rock tone to it, but it's quite soft rock. And I think the chorus lets this song down.
Still 1986. Hold On Tight. Got to number 26.
She does not need to shout. This is a very shouty song. It feels very rock and roll, like 60s rock and roll.
Still 1986, I'm All You Need. I've given you it, but it was outside the top 40 at number 41.
Okay, do you know what? I've written that this is a bit of a filler. Like an album filler. It's not her usual vibes. It's quite repetitive.
Okay. 1987, Nothing's Gonna Stop Me Now. Number 8.
This is like a workout song, you know. Like, I feel like the beat gets you moving, but then the vocals bring it down.
Okay. 1987 still, I Surrender to the Spirit of the Night, number 25.
This has the longest intro going. It's not worth the build up. It's quite a mellow song.
1988, Naughty Girls, Need Love 2. Number 31.
She does a bit of rapping in this ish. So I thought this was a bit later than the 88. Because this one felt like it was definitely moving into the 90s.
Okay. 1988, Love House, number 32.
This one's gone a bit dark and is way into the house music.
Which would have been around that time.
Yeah.
That, like, the S-Express and all that were coming out was around 88.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And then 1989, I Only Want to Be With You, number 6.
Number what? Six.
16. 1 6. Okay.
This one was upbeat, fun. It was a good end to her. And also, it sounds a bit familiar.
And also, just to point out that in 1998, DJ Milano reached number 31 with a track called Santa Maria, and it featured Samantha Fox on it.
Okay.
Hey, there you go.
Moving on to Grace Jones.
Yeah. I don't know about a genre, but if I'm going to take a guess, I went for like a rock, but I don't think it's a straight up rock, but I don't know. She's very hard, so I won't be surprised if I'm completely wrong and it's some weird, like not a high energy, but you know, like a weird one that we don't get often. Maybe even new wave. I don't think she is. I don't really know what to say about her, if I'm honest. She's a weird human. And I've not had a weird human in a very long time. But we're here ending the series with a weirdo. I don't know what to think of her or her music or what she was about. It's very random. And if I'm honest, there wasn't much to her. And I know I'm giving a lot away with what I'm saying, but honestly, she was a bit odd. She looks a bit like a man, which might be controversial to say, but I did think she was a man the first time I saw her on my screen. The videos are—I don't even know how to explain them. There was naked people. There was Enslaved to the Rhythm was one that stuck out. There was naked people that hit each other. There were puppets. There was big heads in deserts that let a car out and then a car went back in. Yeah, that was a bit memorable. And I just think she's a bit scary, honestly. And then when you were saying that Grace Jones is someone that you like, did you say you like her? Yeah, I swear you said you like her.
Well, Slave to the Rhythm and Pull Up to the Bumper.
Yeah. I'm like, but do you know how weird she is?
She was. I mean, everyone back in the 80s would know who Grace Jones was, and I think
probably because they were all
written it down. But I'm pretty sure she was in like James Bond or something like that.
No,
I didn't really look into her films.
What, like actually in it, or
she went into an actress. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay. I didn't write it down, and I should have really. Oh. But
well, that's on you then, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I now need to check filmography. A View to a Kill, she was in.
That means nothing to me because I don't do James Bond.
1985, but she was in quite a few films.
So she went on to...
Well, she was an actor from 1973.
Oh, so it was that until, all the time and she was doing everything else as well.
And yeah, 2016 was her last film.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Ah, she's a bit odd.
So Grace Jones. She's from Spanish Town in St. Catherine, Jamaica. She's been active since 1973. She's a singer, songwriter, model, actress. And her genre is R&B, disco, new wave, art pop, reggae, and dance club music.
I'm not getting many of those rock in that music. But I went with rock because I was like, oh, she's a bit weird, and rock people can be a bit weird. But even that was...
Yeah, you should have stuck with new wave.
Well, like I said new wave.
Yeah.
I didn't write that down. That was me just thinking about it while I was talking.
So although born in Jamaica, she was raised in the U.S. Her parents moved to the East Coast, the United States. And at 18, Jones moved to New York and signed as a model. In 1970, she moved to Paris, where the Parisian fashion scene was receptive to Jones's unusual, bold, dark-skinned appearance. With the likes of Yves Saint Laurent, Claude Montana, and Kenzo Takada hiring her for models as for modeling, while she appeared on the covers of magazines Elle, Vogue, and Stern, and became friends with Jerry Hall and Jessica Lange, whom she shared an apartment with. In 1974, Jones signed to Island Records and released her debut single, I Need a Man, in 1975, which would become her first number one when released 2 years later in 1977, topping the Billboard Dance Club Songs in the US. Her debut album, Portfolio, was also released in 1977 and featured three songs from Broadway musical, Send in the Clowns from A Little Night Music, What I Did for Love from A Chorus Line, and Tomorrow from Annie. In 1978, she released her second album, Fame, with an interpretation of a French classic, Autumn Leaves. In 1979, she released her first album, Muse, which, like the first two, a disco album in sound. And then in 1980, her fourth studio album, Warm Leverite, was released, which was more of a reggae from her Jamaican background than the disco sound of her previous three albums.
What year is that one?
That was 1980, so we're now into the...
So I've got some of them, sort of, any songs from that album?
You will have, yeah. I would guess.
I don't see a reggae.
I mean, sometimes albums... she's the sort of singer that where the album better
did
than...
Well, yeah. We've had quite a few than the actual singles.
The singles, but I will just double check if there was any from the Warm Leverite. Private Life was from Warm Leverite.
Okay.
So it's more of a did I say that? Jamaican background than the disco sound of her previous three albums. While her fifth album, Night Clubbing, was released in 1981, saw her music move into the new style, which blended reggae, R&B, and funk. While the first single, I've Seen That Face Before, Libertango, was number one in Belgium and number four in Netherlands, while the second single, a double A, Pull Up the Bumper and Lviv, was number two on the US Dance Club Songs Billboard chart, as well as number five on the Billboard R&B chart. In 1982, saw the sixth studio album, Living My Life, released, which again was a new wave sound associated with the 80s, and saw lead single Nipple to the Bottle chart at number two on the US Billboard Dance Club Songs, as well as number three in New Zealand and number seven in Belgium. In 1985, Jones released her seventh studio album, Slave to the Rhythm, which was produced by the English record producer and former Buckles and Yes musician Trevor Horn, who had seen success with Frankie Goes to Hollywood. The album not only charted top 10 in the Netherlands, Scotland, and Germany, but also gave Jones her biggest hit with the title track, which was number one in the US on the US Billboard Dance Club Songs chart, and was top 10 in Austria, Belgium, Italy, Netherlands, New Zealand, Switzerland, and Germany. The song was originally intended for Frankie Goes as the follow-up to Relax, and they recorded a demo of the track. But following the band recording Two Tribes as their second single, the song was given to Grace Jones. Jones was nominated for an MTV Six for Best Female Video, but missed out to Whitney Houston's How Will I Know. Jones then released a further three studio albums, Inside Story in 1986, Bulletproof Heart in 1989, and Hurricane in 2008. So 10 albums in total between 1977 and 2008. As I say, she went on to, or has been in films or and as an actress from 1975. And as I said, she did play in James Bond's View to a Kill.
A major part? Did she get major roles or?
I do remember, I mean, she was Mayday, which was like, I don't know if, I think she was like his love interest.
What about other films? Was she like, did she have big parts?
Well, for that one, she was actually nominated as Best Supporting Actress at the Oscar Academy Awards.
That's the Jane Bond one.
Yeah. But the others, I don't recognise. She was in Conan the Destroyer as Zula. But other than that, I can't say I recognise any of the films. It's more like budget films, I would say.
Right, okay, yeah.
But yeah, she's one, two.
So she was more known for her singing than her acting.
Yeah, but she's been in 22 films, as I say, between 1973 and 2016.
I mean, that's not bad going for her there, is it?
In 2012, Jones performed Slave to the Rhythm for Queen Elizabeth II's Diamond Jubilee concert, in which she hula-hooped for the entire song.
No.
Jones is dubbed the Queen of the Gay Discos. So, Grace Jones, 1980, Private Life, got to number 17.
This is very monotoned. She's not even singing, robotic talking, and it's more like a message, like projected for everyone to hear, kind of. Not a song.
Okay. 1981, Pull Up to the Bumper, number 53.
I mean, I say what as if I really liked it. I'm just like, why have I got, like, it's more like what, as in that's done bad and you've still given it to me, but then you said you liked it. There's not much going on with the song. It's just okay. Music with a bit of vocals, so I do agree with that chart placing. My watch.
1985, A Slave to the Rhythm, number 12. And it is a good song.
Slow talking. Don't even know what the message could even be. So you take your good song. I don't get it.
Okay. 1986, on the back of Slave to the Rhythm, a double A was released, La Vie en Rose, along with Pull Up to the Bumper.
Right.
And this time it got to number 12.
Okay,
and hence why you had Pull Up to the Bumper.
Right, okay. I still don't get how it could be pulled up, but then if you say it was released after Slave to the Rhythm, that did so well, then you'd bring it up, wouldn't you? La Vie en Rose was my favourite. I don't think it was in English, though, but it had good. It was a good piece of music. Like, it was a song rather than, like, talking to you. So that was my favourite.
Okay, and in 1986, Love is the Drug, number 35.
This is a bit more lively. But again, there's not much to it. There's not much going on.
Okay, moving on to Elkie Brooks.
Yeah, so I've gone with jazz soul for her genre. Very chilled out vibes to her music, but they can fall to the background. So I feel that's a dodgy line to be on. I think it's something you have to be in the right mood for to listen to. And she just keeps it simple, like it's literally just her singing. And even in videos, it's just her singing. So she doesn't go like above and beyond. She doesn't put too much. She doesn't overcomplicate things.
Okay, so Elkie Brooks, she was actually born Elaine Bookbinder. That is her real name.
Surname.
So you can understand why she changed her stage name. Oh, to a stage name.
Yeah.
She's from
Salford. What a name.
Yeah. Oh. She's from Salford, Greater Manchester. Active since 1960. She's a singer, and her genre is rock, blues, jazz, and blues rock.
Yeah. I got more of a jazz feel from her.
Yeah. So she was born to a Jewish family, with her father's grandparents emigrating to Britain from Poland at the start of the 20th century. Whilst a child, Brooks began singing at bar mitzvahs and weddings, and according to Brooks, her unofficial debut was a gig at a club in Cheetham Hill Road, Manchester, when she was just 13. And then at 15, she won a talent contest in Manchester. And then her debut record was a cover of Etta James's Something's Got Hold on Me, which was released in 1964 on Decca Records. Brooks spent the 60s on Britain's cabaret scene, a period of her life that Brooks has said she didn't enjoy, although she did get to support the Beatles on their Christmas show in London in the mid-60s, as well as opening for Small Faces in their early years, as well as touring the United States with several bands, including The Animals. So Small Faces was... The lead singer was Rod Stewart. So she was in good company with the Beatles and Small Faces.
Got in well, didn't she?
So her first studio album was released in 1975 when A&M Records released Rich Man's Woman. Although the cover, a naked Brooks with a feather boa, was considered outrageous at the time. She would go on to release 16 studio albums in 20 years with her 1981 album, Pearls, giving her the biggest commercial success of her career when it charted at number 2 on the UK album. Her second album, 2 Days Away, released in 1977, was produced by the duo Jerry Leiber and Mike Stoller, who had previously worked with Elvis Presley, and saw 2 top 10 singles with Pearls, a Singer, and Sunshine, Rain. In 1999, Brooks won the Ivors Academy Award Gold Badge Award of Merit and is generally referred to as the British Queen of Blues.
Okay, we've not had one of them before, have we?
So, Elkie Brooks, 1977, Pearls, a Singer, to number 8.
This one's straight into it. It's got a bit of an odd backing track. You're just kind of waiting for it to do something. Like, you know, giving it a bit of an oomph or a change in between the verses and whatnot.
Also 1977, Sunshine After Rain, and that got to number 10.
This is very chilled. I feel like it gives like those evening vibes. Like where you're winding down.
1978, Lilac White, number 16.
I didn't have Lilac White. I had Lilac Wine.
Oh, whatever it was called. Sorry,
I couldn't find a Lilac White. So I want to check that there was no Lilac White, but I didn't have a Lilac White. Just so you know.
Funny enough, I'm having to look it up, so I'm not a Nelke Brooks fan. Lilac Wine.
Yeah. Just wanted to check, just in case I had listened to the wrong song. And obviously, some people might go and search.
Lilac Wine is correct. Number 16.
So, so this was my favourite. It's very calming. Her vocals are at top form here, and it's a passionate song.
Still 1978, Don't Cry Out Loud, number
20. Very calming. Her vocals aren't well heard, but the chorus saves it.
Okay. 1982, Fool If You Think It's Over, number 17.
Okay, this is just strip back singing. It's got a good backing track to support it. Would say this was close to my favourite, but I went a bit more unexpected. Because this is, I would say, is one of her better upbeat songs, but I wanted to go for a more calming song. This is like a very listened to quite often song, I'd say. Like, you can put this one
and on. You can see the difference from now she's in the 80s. Previous. Although that changes with the next one, because 1982, Nights in White Satin.
Number what, sorry?
33.
Oh, that's a big drop, isn't it? This one shows off her vocals. It's very calm and then it goes big for the chorus. So I did like that change in there, and it shows what she can do.
And then 1986, No More the Fool, which was her best charting single at number.
Oh, really? I wouldn't have put it that high, but, you know, it's well. She's just got pure passion in this, and you can get lost in it, I've put.
Okay. And we still haven't had two number ones.
And guess what? Because I can see Dad, we record far away from each other. With where we're living, your face when I gave you who I said as my two number ones made me think maybe I've not done well here. But we've got to Kelly Marie, who I gave the first number one to, if we're going chronological with that you've given, and we've still not had a number one. So, you know, my back end, I didn't go for the people that had given me the most songs. I might be on here, but we'll find out, because obviously we're doing Kelly
Marie. Well, we'll find out now, because we're now on to Kelly Marie.
Yeah. I've gone with pop, electro pop. I feel like she's quite fit for the 80s. She's got quite a distinctive voice. She gets you feeling good with her music. Like, she's very upbeat. She fits in with the charts, I think. Don't know why she didn't do too great, as in I've only had three songs. So I'm intrigued to see like what went down with her. I feel like she's a bit of the end of the 80s, maybe. So maybe she went into the 90s, and she loves her little dances in her videos. She likes a little routine.
Okay. So Kelly Marie, on Jacqueline McKinnon, from Paisley, Scotland. She's been active since 1969. So yeah, definitely the end of the 80s.
No.
She's a singer, and her genre is disco and high energy.
Oh, not what I said.
So Kelly began training for a performing career at the age of 10 and began appearing in singing competitions at 12 and made her TV debut at 15. At 16, she appeared on Opportunity Knocks, a TV talent show, where she sang I Don't Know How to as Kelly Brown and won, which led to her signing with Pi Records.
She got in like that hard way, like she's got in a way that no one in the 80s really did.
I mean, Opportunity Knocks was a big show, but it was more like a New Faces was the other one. TV entertainers, comedians, you know, I mean, I suppose there were singers, I'd say, at the time. But obviously she did well out of it. So yeah, so she released her debut single, Who's That Lady With My Man, in 1976 under her new stage name, Kelly Marie. The single reached number 5 in France and earned a gold disc for sales in excess of 300,000 copies. In 1978, Kelly saw her most significant success in English-speaking countries when Make Love to Me reached number 2 in South Africa and number 5 in Australia. The single, Feels Like I'm in Love, was originally written by Ray Dorsett in 1977 for Elvis Presley. However, it is unclear if the song was ever pitched to Presley that year before his death. So the group Mungo Jerry did record the track, however it was relegated to the B-side of their Belgian single Sur le Pont d'Avignon. However, Peter Yellowstone, who had co-written the hits with Kelly Marie up till now, saw potential in the song as her follow-up to Make Love to Me, and she returned to the top 10 in South Africa when it peaked at number 7 in 1979. Although, like all Marie's recording to date, Feels Like I'm in Love failed to become a hit in the UK.
So she's however, the one that's bigger out of the UK by the sounds of it.
Yeah. But you said this was a number one.
I did. Hence why.
However, the prolonged popularity of the track in the clubs led to Pi Records re-release in the summer of 1980. And after initially charting at number 61, the track then entered the top 40, gaining Kelly both airtime and TV appearance, including a visit to the Top of the Pops studio, which helped the single chart inside the top 10. The re-release of the single, also saw success in Austria, where it got to number 6. Belgium, where it got to number 2, Australia, where it also got to number 6, Germany, number 5, Netherlands, number 3, and also in Ireland, where, as well as charting at number 10 on the in the US on the Billboard Dance Chart in 1981. This is after it hadn't charted anywhere in 1979, other than. It was just South Africa where it got number 7 in the original release. So the success of the single Feels Like I'm in Love did not result in any significant stardom, with her next two singles, Lovin' Just For and Love, both charting outside the top 20 and ending Kelly's mainstream music career. Although she remained a presence on the international club scene, she took a break from recording in 1984 and married and started a family. And then in 1997, she returned and recorded dance versions of Rescue Me, I'm in the Mood for Dance, Blanket on the Ground, Runaway, Millennium, I Need a Man, and River Deep, Mountain High, as well as a new version.
She went down the route of, I'm going to give them what sells, and
done covers, but she done them more as a dance mute.
So she's just like, well, fine, I'll just do that then.
She also recorded new versions of her own songs, Feels Like I'm in Love and Hot Love. Then in May 2005, Marie appeared on the ITV Hit Me Baby, where she sang Feels Like I'm In Love and Oops, I Did It Again, with the winner getting a record deal to release a new single. However, Marie lost out to Chesney Hawke. Kelly Marie released five studio albums between 1976 and 1981. So, yeah, very late 80s, with none charting. None of her albums charted.
So weird.
So, let's see how she did with her singles.
Yep.
1980, Feels Like I'm In Love, released in 1979, did not chart. It was then re-released in 1980, and as I've already said, it got inside the top 10.
Yeah.
Got inside the top 5.
Yeah. See, I know a good one. She needed the right audience.
Number one.
Hey, look at me. I just think it's very feel-good. It's catchy. I like the music all in it. It's upbeat. But what tipped it off for me is I do know it. Well, I know it sounds very familiar. I didn't know like the whole song. So I was like, there's something about this that I feel like might have just grabbed
sampled or something by someone else.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Mm. But I just thought the whole song, I was like, this must have hit high. Like, it just ticks all the right boxes, I think.
Okay. 1980, Lovin' Just for Fun, number 21.
It's got lots of program sounds, and there's not much content from her.
And then finally, 1981, Hot Love, number 22.
This was my favourite of the three. Very upbeat, feel good, and gets you moving.
Okay. Moving on to Barbara Dixon.
Yeah. I don't know. I've gone a bit rogue on the genres. Bit classical with a little bit country. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I've gone with. The feels I got. She's a bit of a musician. Like, I've seen her play some instruments. But she's not consistent with her style of music. Hence why I've gone a bit rogue. Very random songs with the titles not really appearing in the songs themselves. Like, you know, like usually it's called something and then the chorus has that in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's called it because of the chorus. Her songs didn't really have that. She keeps it quite simple, though. I just don't think she was around for long. And by the looks of her, I feel she started before the 80s. I'm just a bit intrigued by her because she's very random. She still had these hits. Yeah.
So she is from Dunfermline, Scotland. So like Kelly Marie, also from Scotland.
Yeah.
Scotland. She was been active since 1968. She's a singer-songwriter and her genre is folk and pop. But I can see where the classical is as well.
Yeah, like just the way she sings.
Definitely. Yeah. So Dixon's singing career started in the folk clubs, hence the folk, around her native in 1960. In 1974, 10 years later, she got a breakthrough when Willie Russell asked her to perform the music for his new musical, John, Paul, George, Ringo and Bert. Her interpretation of the Beatles song made the show highly successful, along with the actors, with RSO Records signing her up for a deal to record an album. The album was Answer Me, which was released, and with the title track becoming a top 10 hit in 1976. She also got a guest residency on the BBC top show The Two Wannies, which was seen by 10 million viewers every week.
That's not
Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice, who spotted Barbara, or she came to the attention of them, from the John Paul, George, Ringo and Bert, and they invited her to record another case in another hall from their new musical, Evita. The single became her second hit in 1997. Then, after contributing backing vocals to Jerry Rafferty on two of his albums, as well as recording two other solo songs, Van and January, February in 1980, Dixon then linked up again with Willie Russell to star in his new musical, The Brothers, with the pivotal role of the mother, Mrs. Johnston, where she gained critical acclaim as well as winning Laurence Olivier Best Actress in a Musical in 1983. In 1984, Tim Rice approached Dixon to take part in the recording of the concept album for his new musical, Chess. Dixon's songs on the album included a duet with Elaine Page on the song I Know Him So Well. Dixon has released 27 studio albums total between 1969 and 2020.
So she's still around as well.
Yeah.
A few of them this week.
So with her 1980.
So, but they're not like hitting big, like they're part.
No. They are, as you say, like classical. They're more. She's more of a musical. Performer, right. And she releases albums that probably just her really close.
Hardcore fans
followers would buy.
Yeah.
So her 1983 album, All for a Song, charted at number 3 for her second top 10 on the UK albums chart. Our Barbara Dixon album had reached number 7 in 80. In 2002, Dixon was awarded an OBE for her services to music and drama. So, Barbara Dixon, 1976, Answer Me, got to number 9.
That's not bad. Soft vocals, good beat.
Okay. 1977, Another Suitcase in Another Hall, to number 18.
Okay, it's a swaying song, and there's just not much change in tempo, so like it just is what it is.
1980, Caravan Song, got to number 41, so just outside.
It's very slow, and she's not very loud in it, so it's more like the music. I'm not even sure what she's singing, but it is a lovely piece of music.
1980, January, February, to number 11.
This one's more upbeat. It was my favourite. It's got something to it, and it actually changes it up with the tempo and the ranges in the song.
Okay, and then we've got 1984, I Know Him So Well, which was with Elaine Page. So rather than say where it got to, we will now move on to Elaine Page and can discuss that with her.
Yeah, so again with Elaine Page, I've gone with classical. I didn't listen to any more, so I only had two, and obviously one of them I listened to with Barbara. It's a hard one because I just didn't have time to listen to more, I will be honest. I think she's very musical, but the only thing is, with not listening to more, there weren't really any other videos, so I didn't really see her, because her videos weren't very a focus on her at all. One of them, she was dressed up, I think. She must have been in it because they were singing. So I didn't see much of it. So there's not much to say on her, but I can only assume she does a bit of musicals and maybe went down that route instead of pure singing.
What we do know is we've got this far and we've still got a number. So Elaine Page has a number one.
And I said memory. So,
Elaine Page, born Elaine Bickerstaff. So Elaine Page is her stage name.
Right.
She's from Barnet, Hertfordshire. Active since 1964. She's a singer. And her genres are theatre, stroke, classical, pop. So yeah, Elaine...
Classical, maybe I went down.
Yeah. So Elaine is best known for her work in musical theatre after making her professional debut on stage in 1960 at the age of 16. In 1968, she made her West End debut in the musical Hair, which has come up before. Following a number of roles over the next decade, she was elected to play the lead role Eva Perron in Andrew Lloyd Webber's 1978 musical Evita, which we've already mentioned about with Barbara Dixon.
Yeah.
Which brought her to the wider attention of the public, winning the Laurence Olivier Award for Performance of the Year in a musical. She then took the role of Grisabella in the musical Cats and had a top 10 hit with the song Memory from the show. In 1985, she appeared in the stage show Chess and released the single I Know Him So Well, a duet with Barbara Dixon, which remains the biggest selling record by a female duo. She then got a starring role in Anything Goes, which she also co-produced. Page then went on to make her Broadway debut in Sunset Boulevard in 1996, where she played the lead role of Norma Desmond to critical acclaim, and then appeared in The King and I from 2000 to 2001, before returning to the West End stage in The Drowsy Chaperone. Page has released 15 albums between 1978 and 2010.
So she's one that went on for a bit as well.
With her 1983, so 1983 was obviously a big year for people who were into shows, because both Barbara Dixon's biggest album and hers were both from 1983. So I wonder if that, because I mean, theatre become a big thing with Phantom of the Opera, which was Andrew Lloyd. And then, you know, we had Starlight Express, Cats, Mousetrap. There was quite a few, Evita. In her 1983 Stages and 1985 Love, both charted in the top 10 at number 2 and number 8, respectively. Page has never married, but was in an 11-year relationship with Tim Rice. Page has won 5 Olivias, Laurence Olivier Awards, and was made an OBE like Barbara Dixon.
I feel like they're quite similar.
Yeah. Well, they're both from the same background, obviously, in musical theatre. Both, obviously, played, sang. Both been made OBEs, both won Laurence Olivier's, both sort of in the same, in the same, mixing in the same.
I know what you mean. Circles. I
can't think of the word. So Susan Boyle, winner of Britain's Got Talent, cited Elaine Page as her inspiration.
Really?
Yes.
Fair enough, Susan.
So, Elaine Page, 1981, Memory. was a top 10 hit.
Number one. I've got them both today. We've actually done it. We've done it.
Got to number six.
Nowhere near least four. We're not done it. For God's sake. I thought I was done, you know. I thought, oh. Well, it was my favourite of her too. It's from the musical Cats. It's very classical, very beautifully sung. It's slow with a build-up.
Yeah. And then 1984, I Know Him So Well, with Barbara Dixon, who we've just had.
Yeah.
And that got to number one. And as I said in there, it is the biggest selling single by a female duo. Think it still is the biggest selling single by a female duo.
Oh, I did like it. It's a good back and forth between them. It's got a good build up to the duet of it and the chorus, and I recognise the chorus, and it is a really good song, and I wish I put that as a number one, because I did think this might be up there, but I try not to do the ones I recognise.
Yeah.
So that's annoying.
So, just so you know, it was number one, four. It was number one for 4 weeks and was in the charts for 17 weeks.
Right, okay.
So,
not
yes.
Done bad then.
No. So that brings us to the end of the female soloist. That was so hench had seven this week.
Yeah.
So all I need to now know is hit or miss, influenced or not.
Well,
Toya
done.
Wilcox.
Miss.
Thought it would be.
I just can't believe that's her. Can't believe that's what I had to listen to.
Totally different to how she is now on Strictly.
Yeah. And Connor heard
She's in her 60s, 70s now?
Yeah. But Connor heard a bit of it and said, this is garbage. So I think I speak for our generation when it's a miss.
Samantha Fox.
She is a hit, though. I enjoyed her. I enjoyed her music. It was a nice little change. It was a bit more upbeat, a bit more me.
Grace Jones.
She was a miss.
I thought so.
Just didn't get her.
Okay. Elke Brooks.
Now, I was on the fence about her for quite a while. And when I say quite a while, I've only decided while we've been talking. And only because, obviously, when I've, like, then spoken about the songs and... not heard where they come, but you know, more spoken about them and like relived what my opinions on them were, I've gone for a hit.
Oh,
yeah, I do like a bit of jazz, you know. So, yeah, I think that's Wade.
Kelly Marie.
Kelly Marie was also a hit. I did enjoy her. She's one that I think I would definitely explore a bit more because I only had three for her.
Just a shame she never really went on to do anything after.
No.
A bit like Jennifer Rush.
When you were talking, it just kind of, and then you went, and that was the end of her mainstream career. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
And now we go into the theatre, the classical. Sounds of Barbara Dixon.
She is a miss.
Okay, no surprise really. And Elaine Page.
She's another miss, only because it just weren't my feel. And I do like a bit of theatre, but this was a bit too classical theatre, I'd say. So it weren't really for me.
So, 3 out of 7, pretty much what I predicted it would be.
So,
I'll take that.
Was nearly a 2. I just had to decide on what's her name?
Yeah.
Kelly Marie.
Okay. So all it leaves me to do is let you know what's on for next week.
But
as I said, it's a bit different. Hey?
But we've got no more.
We have. We've got one. And it's back. It sort of leads into it with Elaine Page and Barbara. Because it's duets.
Oh,
so those that like were more known as
people that I've already known and had.
No, these are people. So most of those you've had. So like you could have had David Grahn and I can't think who he done is. Janet Graham. Janet Graham and David Grahn. They had a few, didn't they? But it was under David Grahn. So these are the ones, these are people who haven't, okay, that were mainly known for duets than solos. Okay. So.
But let me ask, are we continuing on? Or so how many series?
This is just one episode. One episode. This is the final episode of series five, the 80s. These are the duets that you haven't already heard. So,
I'm with you.
Susan Fassbender.
No.
And Kay Russell, but it was mainly Susan Fassbender.
Right.
Reynolds Girls.
No.
We Papa Girl Rappers.
Oh, hello, no.
Sarah Brightman.
No.
Womack and Womack.
No.
Roberta Flack.
No. I mean, not going to lie, are you surprised that I don't know any of these?
No. You might know the next one. Pepsi and Shirley.
That one, that's to do with what's his name? Is it Martin? Is it the Kemp?
Yep, she's married to him, and we're back in Singers for Wham.
Yes.
Hilary Lester.
No.
Mel and Kim.
I did that one as well. Kim Wilde. Is that the Mel and Kim? Kim Wilde is Kim.
We will go on and discuss next week.
Well, now I feel like a donut and probably got it wrong. I said that very confidently.
So you had Mel and Kim when Kim Wilde was walking around the Christmas tree. Do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, they were a bit odd. Oh, that was a very odd one, that. Oh, I don't think you should have reminded me.
There isn't many songs.
Well, I gathered that.
So, Susan Fassbender, Reynolds Girls, We Papa Girl Rappers, Sarah Brightman, Womack and Womack, Roberta Flack, Pepsi and Shirley, Hilary Lester, and Mel and Kim.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah. So I shall get those songs to you.
Yep.
And we will discuss those next week.
We will indeed. All right, then. Yeah.
All right. On that note, I shall say goodbye.
Bye, Dad.
All right. Bye.